and we can have air conditioning in our churches. I remember in my earlier years in ministry, our denomination had a camp meeting tabernacle, and it was an old one. And I don't know if you've ever seen these tabernacles where the side doors were propped up on the sides. And in Iowa, it could get really warm. And I can remember a lot of people spent a lot of time fanning themselves because it was so hot. Sometimes the preaching was pretty hot too, so it kind of made a difference. And fortunately, God used all of it for His glory. And I'm so thankful for that today. This morning, I want to speak to you as a church. I know that when you're without a pastor, a lot of people have to step up to the plate to do a lot of things that they would not ordinarily have to do. And sometimes you just wear out. You're doing so much more, and it can be very discouraging. And people can begin to question whether or not they ought to be even continue on. And so today I want to talk to you from Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. And the title of my message this morning is Hope for Weary Warriors. And I'd like you to stand just one more time for the reading of God's Word, and then we will get into the message this morning. Galatians chapter 6, beginning with verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and we realize our total dependence upon you. And I pray this morning that your Holy Spirit would rest upon us. I pray, Lord, that you'd speak through your word and your servant. And I pray, Lord, that we would have ears to hear what the Spirit of God would say to us this morning. And for all that you do in this service, we'll be careful to give you all the credit and all the praise, for you alone are worthy of it all. This we pray in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Did you know that the way that we face our day is as important as the events of our day? Life has a way of bringing challenges that we would prefer to do without. However, if we have to be able to explain all the events of our lives, we can become very frustrated and discouraged at times. We sometimes may end up responding to all of the discouragement and a lot of the frustrations the way that one young man did. He was 19 years of age, and he was dying of cancer at a Rhode Island hospital. And when he was asked how he felt about his condition, he responded, he said, "Well, you could say God did it. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God why he put me through this. And if he doesn't have a good answer, I'm going to punch him right in the mouth." Now, that's a great attitude, isn't it? And sometimes when we're going through those difficult times, our attitudes can our attitudes can get rather unpleasant to be around. Sometimes we may appear to be very unchristian with our attitudes. But I'm here to tell you this morning that in John chapter 16, verse 33, that Jesus said, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. And in this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." And Paul then goes on and says on our ninth verse here, "Let us not become weary in doing good." And so he reminds us that we are not to be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good in Romans chapter 12, verse 23. And so our hope is that at the proper time, we will reap a harvest of good. Our hope is in the integrity and the faithfulness of God's Word. And so I'd like us to take a look at God's Word and find some hope in what He has for us today. First of all, our hope is in the power of God. Too often, the power we need from God is not so that we can be invincible in all of our circumstances, but rather that we will have the power to get back up. Some of you may remember Walter Payton, the great running back from the Chicago Bears. He ran hard into the record books as the all-time leading ground gainer in the NFL. And analysts say that Walter Payton gained over 9 miles rushing in his career. Over 9 miles. That's a long ways. Pretty awesome, isn't it? But he averaged only 4.6 yards each time he carried the ball. So what that means is that while he ran for 9 miles, he was knocked down every 4.6 miles or yards of the way. And so to his credit, he kept getting back up after 4.6 yards and started again. I think that says something to us as we face life. There are a lot of difficulties that we face that will knock us flat on our faces. And it's difficult to overcome. But I'm so glad that we serve a God who promises that His power working in us will help us reap a harvest in our lives and to be overcomers to the glory of God. I believe the best definition for Christian is overcomer. Because there are so many obstacles and so many things that we have to overcome in this life. The enemy of our soul is out to knock us down and to beat us up and discourage us and cause us to give up. But I'm so glad that God is with us. His presence, His Holy Spirit is with us. He is within us. The resurrection power of Jesus Christ dwells within us, giving us the power to overcome every obstacle that we face as we lean on Him. That's key. As we lean on Him. 2 Peter verse 1, verse 3 says, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. So what is that telling us? Well, it's telling us that we can accomplish anything that God has called us to do in this life. Not in our own strength, but by the awesome power of the Holy Spirit that is working inside of us. And we will overcome all obstacles by the mercy of God and not our own desires and efforts. It is through the power of the Holy Spirit, amen, that gives us what we need to do what we are called to do. Romans 9:16 says, it does not therefore depend on man's desire or effort, but on God's mercy. You see, God's mercy gives His power to us to overcome so that, get this, so that He can be glorified in and through us. So vitally important. Sometimes we think, oh, it's all about us. Sorry, it's not. It's all about Him. And everything that we do as Christians is for His glory. A terminally ill person was talking to his pastor one day, and he made a remarkable statement. He said, our only purpose on earth is to glorify God. However, He wants to get glory in what I want to do. So that means that our want to needs to be lined up with the will of God. Amen. And reality tells us that we don't always get what we deserve, but we do always get what we sow. Some of you remember Jack Benny. In accepting a reward one day, he said, I don't deserve this, but then I've got arthritis and I don't deserve that either. Well, Paul goes on and says, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. He also says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose, Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. And so in other words, it is God working in us that gives us the desire and the power to do what pleases God. Amen. It's the Spirit of God within us. Have you been transformed by the Spirit of God? He changes our whole motivation. He changes our heart so that we desire to do the will of God. Amen. If you don't desire to do the will of God, then maybe you need to check in with the Lord again and see what's the problem. Amen. Amen. You see, God's power must be in us if we are to have hope in our weary and chaotic world today. The second thing I want to bring to your attention is that our hope is in God's provision for us. We are told what we must do. We must not be weary in doing good. And that doesn't mean we are saved by our good works, but that we are saved to do good works, to bring glory to the Father. Over in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10, it says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus," what? "To do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So, in other words, after a people have been saved or born again, God has planned in advance what all Christians should do to serve Him, to find fulfillment, and to be victorious in this life. Praise the Lord. Remember Jeremiah 29, verse 11, that says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Does that ring a familiar bell? Well, how can anyone lose when they go with God? How can anyone lose when they go with God? But it gets even better. God has promised to meet all of our needs in all things. God has promised to meet all. I looked up the word all in the dictionary. It means everything. And it means all. All of our needs in all things. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, it says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus." Do you recall that seventh verse that we read earlier of our text? It says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows." And God sees us, and He knows what we do for Him and others, and He discerns even the motivation for why we're doing what we're doing. We may fool others, and even ourselves, in regard to our motives and attitudes for doing and giving, but God discerns why we do them. God discerns why we do them. And that's why Paul says God cannot be mocked, or in other words, fooled. So what does that have to do with God supplying all of our needs according to His glorious riches? Well, Paul says in our text, "Whatever we sow, we will reap." And the word "sow" here means spread, utilize, or invest. So whatever we use as key values in our lives determines the course of our lives. I want to repeat that. Whatever we use as key values in our lives determines the course of our life. And that means in all things. The text in the text, verse 8, tells us that if we sow to the sinful nature, we'll reap destruction in our lives. But if we sow to the Spirit, we'll reap eternal life. So in other words, if I sow to the Spirit, I'll reap in proportion to my generosity of whatever I cheerfully give to God, regardless of what it is. Now I'm going to repeat that, because this is key. So if I sow to the Spirit, I will reap. Okay. If I sow to the Spirit, I will reap in proportion to my generosity of whatever I cheerfully give to God, regardless of what it is. And you know what I've noticed over the years is that what there are those that I've had in my churches over, that just simply they just loved serving the Lord, and they just loved doing things in the house of God. They loved to be active in ministry of some sort within the body of Christ. And they were the happiest people in the church. You know, I realize in smaller churches, you know, sometimes it's difficult to find people who are willing or are capable of doing some of the things that need to be done. And so sometimes we just plug in people into places to say, well, at least they're filling a hole, right? And I know that it's not fair. It really isn't. But I believe that even if it's something that you don't feel you're good at, if you will put your heart into it and ask God to help you and ask people to help you learn how to do the job, you'll be able to do it. And if you realize you're doing it for the Lord and not for people, you'll find real fulfillment and joy in doing it. As a pastor, I didn't pastor large churches in the beginning. I started out in some pretty small churches, and I'll tell you, there were a lot of things I ended up having to do. I said, but Lord, I'm not gifted in that area. God would say, just buck up, Nir. I've called you. Do it. I will help you. And so I want to encourage you today. If you're doing a job in the church and you feel like, man, I'm just not qualified, and I'm not good at this sort of thing, and it's just not one of those areas that I really enjoy. But if you're doing it for the Lord and it's needed to be done, put your heart into it and say, okay, God, you know, I'm doing this for you. I'm doing this for you and you alone. And so, Lord, I'm going to trust you to help me with this. And you'll help me to do it with the right spirit. Amen. There's nothing worse than hearing people whine and carry on about, oh, man, I just hate doing this job. You know, it really brings a lot of glory to the Lord, and a lot of people really are encouraged by you and your attitude, right? Well, I need to move along here, but I just want to say, you know, God can help you, and he can give you a right spirit as you pray about it and give it to the Lord and do what you can for his glory. Amen. Well, anyway, as Christians, we must decide what crop of blessing from God we want and plant accordingly, just like the farmer who plants a field of corn and expects to reap a harvest of corn. So as we invest our lives in the Spirit of God, the grace of God will provide us with all the essential qualities and necessities required. Amen. Thank the Lord. Required to face every difficulty and every set of circumstances that we face. My, I am so grateful for that. God is so good. And he will make provision for us as we go along. Thank the Lord. The last point I want to bring to your attention, you probably want to beat the Assembly of God people to the restaurant over here, so I'll try to cut it a little shorter and we'll get down to the last point, okay? Our hope is in the purposes of God. You see, God is eager for our lives to bring glory to his purposes. Amen. And so our hope is that we will reveal God himself in our lives by doing his will. Amen. It's not in our time that our ship arrives at the port, but it's in his time always. He still is in charge of the timing, and that's difficult sometimes. We want things to just move right now. And I think probably every one of us are guilty of that on occasion, right? Well, maybe you're, if you're not that way, I'd sure like to meet you and find out what the secret that you have that will help me, okay? Yeah, oh, goodness. God wants to help us, but one of the most difficult things is waiting on the Lord. Sometimes he doesn't always do things in the time frame that we would like him to do it. But we know that our responsibility is simply to be in charge of sowing good seeds until he comes. That's the responsibility of every Christian. Sharing the good news of Jesus with everyone, everywhere you go. And I know that some people are rather obnoxious, and I've seen some people that any person they get in an elevator with, boy, those people are in trouble, because boy, they start preaching to them and try to win them to the Lord right there. That's probably a little extreme. I think we need to be more conscientious of the leadership of the Holy Spirit in those kinds of situations. Amen? Amen. Yes. But we should always be ready to give an answer of the hope that is within us, wherever we go. Amen. God wants to use us for his glory. We are to keep plowing until time to plant and weed out the entanglements in our lives and circumstances. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." You know, I know there may be times when we aren't sure what God's exact purpose is. Sometimes we feel like we're in the waiting room. God, what is it you want me to do? Well, in those times, we need to just say, "Lord, I'm not certain right now what you want me to do, but I'm just going to keep pressing forward and doing what I know that you want me to do as a Christian. And when you're ready to let me know what your further orders are, I'm listening and I'm waiting." And sometimes it seems like those periods of time are just, we feel like, man, I'm just wasting my time. You know what? But I want to tell you, you know, in those times of waiting, God is—he's doing something in our heart. He's preparing us, and he wants us to lean on him more and to trust him in those circumstances, in that time frame when we just feel like, "I don't know what you want, God." But God knows you. He knows what you need. And he can supply what you need. And when it's time, the appropriate time for you to receive the next set of orders, he'll give it to you. But you just have to wait patiently on the Lord and trust him. Trust him. Continue to pray and seek his face and just wait on him. And I'll tell you, God's Holy Spirit will come and he'll fill you up to overflowing as you call upon his name. We need to seek after God with all of our hearts. Even old David, the King David in the Old Testament, he was ready to retire. He told his son Solomon, he said, "Son, seek after God and be obedient to the Lord, and you will be blessed." And so, as long as we're seeking after the Lord, even in those times when it seems like we're just standing still, God will meet with you. He'll rejuvenate your spirit. He'll encourage you through his word. God has ways of helping us during those times, I found. He may use a lot of different things to reach us and to help us. Sometimes it's just the words of a friend, or maybe from the Word of God, or the words of a song, or maybe a poem, or maybe some set of circumstances that just jump out at you, and God will use it to remind you that, "Hey, Greg, I'm here. I'm here. I know where you're at." Sometimes sometimes we feel like we're just out there all alone and nobody cares and nobody really wants to help us. But we have our best friend, Jesus Christ, who is always there. Always, always, always. Praise his name. Oh, that ought to encourage you this morning. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, it says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come," now get this, "so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." And so at the proper time, we will reap a harvest that we do not give up. I'm so thankful for that today. Oh, I tell you, you know, sometimes we feel like we're sinking. And I'm reminded of this story. It's a true story about a professional speedboat driver who was in a hydroplane race. And at top speed, his boat veered slightly and hit a wave at a dangerous angle. And the combined force of his speed with the size and angle of the wave sent his boat spinning into the air. He was thrown from his seat and thrown deeply into the water. He went so deep that he had no idea which direction was up or down. And fortunately, he had the composure to remain motionless and allow the buoyancy of his life vest to begin pulling him toward the surface. And as soon as he could see which way was up, he began to swim towards the surface. That's like God's provision. If we'll wait, we will sense the upward pull of God's provision until we can see the shore. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, it says, "Therefore, my dear brother, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." Your labor in the Lord is not in vain. You realize that the great colonial pastor Cotton Mather prayed for revival several hours each day for 20 years. And the Great Awakening didn't begin until the year he died. For nearly 50 years, William Wilberforce fought to abolish slavery in Great Britain. It wasn't until he was lying on his deathbed that Great Britain freed the slaves. You see, God has a plan in all things. He just wants us to be faithful in doing what we know we need to do. What is that? It's simply staying in the Word of God, praying, seeking the face of God, and being obedient to whatever God asks you to do. And if you do that, you don't have to worry about the results. God takes care of that. That's his business. We're just servants. We're conduits of the Spirit of God in the world. And God wants to use us in different ways. And we just have to be open to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Paul talks about it in Galatians also, about keeping in step with the Spirit. And if you're praying every day and staying in the Word of God, you'll keep in step with the Spirit. Amen. Because he'll let you know what he wants you to do. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you all. I was told before the service that I could pick a song for us all to sing at the end. And so I'd like us to sing a very, I hope it's a very familiar hymn to you. It's found in hymn number 526, "The Solid Rock." And if we could stand and I'll take my seat. But if we could sing that song, "The Solid Rock."
We don't have words. We'll sing verses 1 and 4 of 526, The Solid Rock.